Chapter 11 this morning. We're going to preach this morning on how strong is your faith. How strong is our faith this morning? Amen? And we need people with strong faith. We have a lot of people that have a smidgen of faith. You know, the Bible says if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll be able to say unto this mountain, be hence moved yonder, and it will move. Amen? So that's not very much faith. Question is, how strong is it? We're not asking how much faith you have. We're asking how strong is the faith that you do have. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 reads this way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow. That says a mouthful there. I could preach a couple of hours right here on this subject in one verse. But I won't. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you now just to bless the reading of your word this morning and help us as we study your word and break open the bread of life. And Lord, feed us this morning. Not only feed us, but convict our hearts. Stir our hearts. Grow us. Help us to be a better Christian this morning. We ask you this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. How strong is your faith? That's a real good question, isn't it? How strong is your faith? The Bible talks about the book of Daniel in chapter 1. And we've been going through it on Wednesday night. Daniel had great faith. I mean, somebody that's been thrown in the lion's den had to have something going for them. Amen. And I had a teenager one time ask me, said, "Preacher, what do you think it was like for Daniel being thrown in the lion's den?" I said, "First of all, he was in his 80s when he was thrown in the lion's den. He wasn't no young man. He was 80 or plus years old. We know that by history. What had happened because of who came to reign and how long it was. It doesn't take a mathematician very long to figure out. He was somewhere probably around 83 years old, give or take a few years. And I believe Daniel had great faith. And when he went into the lion's den, the lions kind of looked at him, and he commanded them, petted them on the head, and made one lay down, become his pillow. And he lay down, put his head on him, and he had two more lay on each side for kind of like a blanket to keep him warm. Say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because Daniel had great faith. But where did Daniel's faith get strong? Where did it become strong enough to persevere something like the lion's den? You ever thought about that? Well, I'm so glad that you haven't thought about that this morning. Let me show you another verse. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Do I have it up there? Yes. Daniel 1, verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." I want you to catch the first part of that verse. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart." Talking to young people over the years, I've always preached and taught them, you need to purpose from a young age not to do certain things. Why? Because if you already made that conviction up front, if you've already purposed not to do something, then when it presents itself to you, you're not going to fall for it. Young people that do not, and even adults that do not set some boundaries on themselves in their own life, will fall at the first attempt to do so. It's a proven fact. But we see here Daniel purposed in his heart. This is how come Daniel's faith was strong when he faced the lion's den. By the way, there was a lot of years between when he wrote and penned, he purposed in his heart. He was approximately 15 to 18 years of age when he said, I purposed in my heart. He purposed all his life in his heart to be pleasing to God. He grew his faith. How strong is your faith this morning? Church, the other day I got to tell you a story. How many ever listens to Glenn Beck? Any of you? Did you hear him Thursday? Any of you? I'm going to tell you a story. You can go probably look it up on his transcripts of his radio program. But let me share with you a story that he shared Thursday. I'd been working on this message for 3 or 4 weeks, and I heard the story, and I said, you know, thank you, Lord. I've got to share that with the church because it fits. Last weekend, not talking a month ago, not talking 2 months ago, not talking 5 years ago, very true story, it happened in Baghdad. All right? True story. Friends of Glenn Beck. He's a Christian man. Lives in Baghdad. Saturday of last Saturday, people knocked on his door. They were from ISIS. How many knows who ISIS is? If you've been anywhere in America, you heard about ISIS. They knocked on his door. And they said, you're a Christian. You and your family got 24 hours to recant or we'll kill you. And they left. His pastor, this man's pastor, has already been exiled to Jordan. So he got on the phone to Jordan with his pastor and said, Pastor, I'm not recanting. This is probably the last you'll hear from me. I'm not recanting. He said, but I'm going to tell my 5 children that they're going to recant and switch to save their life. The next day, and he told his pastor, he said, look, he said, my sister lives right outside of Baghdad. If you want any other information, contact her. The next day, last Sunday morning, there was a knock on the door. Same people from ISIS came in. They did not ask the daddy, is he going to recant? No, they went to the children. And they said, are you going to recant and turn? And they said, no. We love Jesus. And they shot him dead right in front of daddy. True story. The next day, he was taken and beheaded in the square there in Baghdad. I'm telling you that for a reason. It's a true story. It just happened. We in our world are facing a test of our faith. How strong is your faith? If someone was to come in those doors right now this morning and asked you, how strong is your faith? What would you answer? Think about it. How strong is your faith? You say, preacher, that always happens in that part of the world. Not so. Let me give you another true story. By the way, how many has ever seen the movie Footman Tire You, What Will Horses Do? I've got it if you like to see it. It shows some documentation. And Brother Estes Perkle is the one preaching it. The sermon on if footmen tire you, what would horses do? And it's about the takeover of communism in Cuba in the early 60s, late 50s. It happened. You can go back and look at the records. When Castro took over in Cuba, what happened? I showed up at a church Sunday morning. They asked the people, you recant Jesus? And they said no, and they just mow them down in the where they're sitting with machine guns. So, preacher, will that happen in America? I don't know. But I'm telling you, church, I want to ask you this question and ask you again. How strong is your faith? How strong is your faith? Thing is, you need a purpose in your heart, as Daniel did, that your faith will be strong to the end, till eternity. How strong is your faith? I asked you this another question because, see, this week the church has been under fire. I don't know if you know about it or not, because the headlines on the news media is all about things that's happening up Baltimore. I mean, every time you turn on your news, that's all you hear about. You don't hear about what's been going on up behind the scenes. Let me give you something that's been going on behind the scenes that's going to directly affect this church and other churches like us. Here's the key. Our churches today have been harassed for years, and people don't realize it. And the churches are simply rolling over. Since the early part of Obama administration, he's sought and seen the churches as a tax base to grab the taxes. But he can't just jump out there and do it because people will balk at him. So, he started out with what is called the Defense of Marriage Act. Any of you ever heard of it? It started out in the courts up in New York. By the way, it did not go through the legislation, which is all your bills. If you remember from your high school days and you kids, you know, bills started in the House and they go to the Senate, or they start in the Senate and go to the House. And then when they are passed both Senate bodies and the legislature, then they go to the president for a signature. Oh, no, 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 not this one. It's got its name, and Fox News was calling it this week, the bill that never went to the legislature because it went to the court system first. The first appellate court turned it down. Our Supreme Court picked up and heard cases of it this week. Judge Alito asked the attorney for the Obama administration, he says, what does this bill have to do with the churches? And they said, Your Honor, we are attempting, and he made no bones about it. You can go back and look at the transcripts on Wednesday. We're making no attempt to tax the churches 28% flat across the board. No questions asked. This is in the Marriage Act. Has nothing to do with marriage. And by the way, the bill itself on the act of marriage has nothing to do with defense of marriage. When it's all said and done, people will be able to marry their dog if the Senate, if the Supreme Court passes it. Why? Because marriage is no more holy and acceptable thing unto God. It's become something that people do or don't do. I'm going to tell you, we're in trouble in our country. We're in trouble. This is the reason why I go back to you and asked you this morning, how strong is your faith? How strong is your faith? You say, preacher, what if they pass that marriage act? Well, here's what's going to happen. If they pass it and they come in and they say, preacher, you got to perform this type of wedding. And I said, no, under God, I'm not able to. I will go to jail, gladly. I've already picked my cell out. Amen. I don't know if they'll let me have it or not. But I know one day, I'm like Paul, I'm going to be picking out my, looking for where I'm going to stay, because I'm going to stay true to God. But along with that, the church is going to suffer also. the tax exemption of the church, which is basically gone already, will be officially gone. The leaders of the church will be locked up. The church will become defunct and go away. We will no longer be able to meet on Sunday morning. Told the people that was here for Sunday school, we're looking at going underground. By the way, so preacher, that'd be a bad thing. No, it won't. No, it won't. Why? Because throughout history, when the church of God has suffered persecution, the church thrives. It grows. It flourishes. Why? Because people think it's precious. This is the reason I often said we ought to charge people to come to church. They might think they're going to get their money's worth. Amen. We don't do that. It's open to anybody and everybody. But here's the thing. People look at church as not what God's going to give me, but it's something as I need to do. We're looking at the church being changed in America. I was reading a book this morning. I'm getting ready to order. I was reading a preliminary about the book, and I'm thinking about ordering this book. And this book is written by a man that, and I can't remember his name right off, but it's written by a man that's talking about the change of the church in the next 10 years in America. You know what he was talking about? Just what I've been telling you. The church going underground. The church being house to house. The church centering herself around prayer and fasting and seeking God. That's where the church needs to be. The thing is, this morning I asked you a question. How strong is your faith? How strong is your faith? The things rise in our country the way they're coming up. How strong will you be for God? How strong is your faith? This morning I want to attempt to help each and every one of you to be strong. The only way you're going to be strong is you got to realize that you need to have the answer for X, Y, Z before it happens. What will you happen? Look with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we're going to see some things on how to build your faith. How to be strong in your faith. You say, preacher, I thought my faith was in just salvation. Well, that's the beginning. Salvation is the beginning. But we're talking about your salvation. Once you're saved forever. We're talking about how strong are you as a Christian. Can you say unto this mountain, move thee hence, and it be moved? How strong is your faith? How strong do you believe in God? Are you willing to throw it away, for instance, to save your life? James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect will, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James, he doesn't mix too many words here, does he? James first tells us we need to count it a joy to fall into trouble. I've never, you know, sometimes my prayers to God, Lord, would you please give me a few days with no trouble? Amen? You say, preacher, what do you mean? The devil's constantly on my doorstep. I wake up with him there. I know he's there. He's ready to devour me if I give him a half an inch. He's the same way with you. He's the same way with you. Thing is, trouble, I know who's the root behind the trouble. Satan himself. And that's why James pens here, he said, count it a joy when you have divers temptation, or when you're in trouble, when you have problems, when you have things that come against you that kind of beset you. He said, count it a joy. Count it a joy. And then he tells us this. He says, trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, first of all, let me say this morning, I don't want to see none of you going around praying for patience unless you're ready for lots of trouble. Amen? Because when you start praying for patience, trouble is sure to come and make sure you're going to have plenty of patience. Why? Because, first of all, faith worketh patience. Wow. It's right there in black and white. Read it for yourself. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But then it says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Thirdly, not only trying your faith worketh patience, but thirdly, patience worketh completeness. Patience worketh completeness. Now, I can't say I've always been the patient daddy I should be. Anytime you got twin boys, they're going to push you to the limit, and it's usually opposite limits. Amen? You that's got kids know what I'm talking about. You don't have to have twins or triplets. You know that kids are going to push you to your limits, and it's usually the opposite end of each other. You know, why is it when family has two kids that they're never the same? They always turn out to be opposites. Have you ever noticed that? I've met very few parents that's got a couple of kids that are just alike. Most of them are different as daylight and dark. My boys are the same way. Why is that? Trying my patience, to teach me patience. I've had to develop quite a little bit of patience. And still, my patience wears thin. Amen? Just as yours does. But patience thing, now listen, this is what the God says. Patience worketh completeness. So that's not exactly the word. Well, let me read you the verse. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word perfect in the Word of God is complete. It's not like I'm Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect. No. It means you're complete. You're well-rounded. You're all one. It's kind of like a pie with a piece cut out of it. You don't have the piece cut out of you no more. You're perfect. You're complete. Now look with me in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. This is where I want Brother Greg to come up and finish my message now. I'm just kidding. This is where he got into my message this morning in Sunday school. It's just God. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit. I had no clue what he's teaching. He didn't have an idea what I was preaching. Amen. I love it when the Lord starts working. But he says this, ask for wisdom. How many has asked for wisdom today? I hope it's every day. That's part of my morning prayer. Lord, give me wisdom to know what's right and wrong as I go through the day. Because see, just like you and I both are faced every day with things that you have to make split-second decisions on, and you need to have wisdom from God to enlighten you. You need to. You must. You have to have His wisdom. Then we have something else. He said, don't waver. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith. Ask in faith. How strong is your faith? Are you willing to ask for wisdom? He said, ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What does the term wavering mean in the Word of God? How many's ever been out onto a field of grass? You've seen grass in the field, and it's standing up, and the wind blows, and it does what? It waves back and forth. Especially, I've seen wheat fields out north of DeKalb, the wind start blowing and they'll start wavering. Here the Word of God is talking about nothing wavering, for the waves is like wavering is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. People that wavered are people that cannot make a decision, and others make the decision for you. And therefore, you're not happy. Did you know that's the reason why most people are unhappy today? It's because somebody else made the decision for them, and they didn't make the decision for themselves. That is the problem. That is the problem in our world today. Other people making decisions for others. People can't make a decision for yourself. I go back to my verse in Daniel, purposing your heart. See, Daniel did not let others make the decision for him. He had already purposed and made the decision. And therefore, he just stood by his decision. So, preacher, you can be strong like that. No, I did it when I was a little boy, made the decision not to use alcohol, not to drink, not to smoke, not to cuss, and on down the line I could go. I made that decision early in life. Therefore, when I've been later faced the problem and faced the reality and had people, I mean, yeah, I've been out visiting and have people offer me a beer. I said, no, thank you. I have no problem saying no, thank you. You know why? Because I made that purpose a long time ago. A long time ago. I'm not being easily persuaded. Therefore, I'm not wavering. Don't waver. Don't waver. And then he says, if you waver, there will be no blessings from God. Look in verse 7. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. How many of you want things God to bless your life? I do. My prayer is that God blesses each and every one of your lives this morning. Thing is, he's not going to bless you if you're wavering. You need to stand firm. This morning, the question on the table is this: how strong is your faith? How strong is your faith? Is it ready to stand the test of time? Then verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A person that can't make up their mind is unstable. We have in our society all kinds of names for it. We have, you know, people saying, well, they're mentally unstable. They've got split personalities. They've got this and they've got that. Let me tell you, the bottom line is this. They have a sin problem. Amen and oh me, they have a sin problem. The sin is interjected between them and God. You know what the problem is over in the Middle East this morning? You know the reason why it won't be peace in the Middle East? Because of a sin problem. You know why America is having a problem today? Because of sin. That's it. That's the only problem we have is sin. We've put sin as the top objective in our country, and the truth is made a lie. Sin is being elevated. The truth of God is being pushed aside and put down. A double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. You know, I get tickled at a lot of politicians. They want to, if they're talking to this group, they're talking and they're saying this. If they're over here talking to this group, which is totally opposite than the last group, they're over here saying this. They're saying whatever people want to hear them say at that present moment in time. Thing is, they mean absolutely nothing to them. They have no clue themselves. They're double-minded. This is a double-minded person. The Bible says a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. In all his ways. Why should we be strong in our faith? Let me give you something in closing this morning that should make you strong in your faith. It should make you want to achieve something in your life and purpose in your heart to be strong in the Lord. Look with me at the verse 12 in that same chapter. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Think about that. How many of you like to have the crown of life? Amen and amen. By the way, just in case you don't know, there's five crowns mentioned in the Word of God. Five crowns. One of these is called the crown of life. It's a person that's unstable, or not unstable in their ways. They do not waver. They have strong faith. That's the person that's going to receive the crown of life. That right there ought to make each and every one of us as Christians to strive to live for the Lord, to strive to do what's right. Why? Because one day we're going to gain heaven and we'll receive a crown of life. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. How is it in your life? How is your faith? Is your faith strong this morning? How is your faith?